wonder if God got a plan for everyone. I wonder if I could take a second run. 'Cause I carry on getting sad and getting stuck. What I wouldn't give for a life that doesn't suck. I'm a moving target.
Welcome back to the S3 podcast with your host, Billy. And this is episode 56, Orlando Nightclub Shooting. As always, do follow us on Instagram at S3Podcast_. And also follow us on all of our podcast platforms. Today is all about the Orlando Nightclub Shooting, as tomorrow will be its 6th year anniversary. So I wanted to cover it and, you know, spread, you know, awareness of it, you know, rejig people's memories and so forth. So without further ado, let's get right into it. On June 12th, 2016, Omar Bateen, a 29-year-old man, killed 49 people and wounded 53 more in a mass shooting inside Pulse, a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. Orlando police officers shot and killed him after a three-hour standoff. In a 911 call made shortly after the shooting began, Martin swore allegiance to the leader of the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, Abu Bakr Baghdadi, and said the US killing of Abu Wahib in Iraq the previous month triggered the shooting. He later told a negotiator he was out there right now because of the American-led interventions in Iraq and in Syria, and that the negotiator should tell the United States to stop the bombing. The incident was deemed a terrorist attack by FBI investigators. Pulse was hosting a Latin night, and most of the victims were Latino. It is the deadliest incident in the history of violence against LGBT people in the United States. The deadliest terrorist attack in the US since the September 11th attacks in 2001, and the deadliest mass shooting by a single gunman in US history until the 2017 Las Vegas shooting. So let's start with the shooting, and going through this today, I don't mean any disrespect to anyone, or to anyone who lost their, you know, relatives on this night. I'm just covering it because I feel it is good to still talk about these things and bring attention to it. Even though this was 6 years ago, it's still very evident and very much present in people's memories, and I feel it's still worth talking about. So I don't mean any disrespect to anyone, and all of my condolences go out to anyone who lost someone on this day. So, as mentioned, on June 11th, 2016, Pulse, a gay nightclub in Orlando, was hosting a Latin night, a weekly Saturday night event drawing a primarily Latino crowd. About 320 people were still inside the club, which was serving last call drinks at around 2 a.m. EDT on June 12th, at around the same time. Omar Martin arrived at the club via rental van, parking it in the parking lot of a neighbouring car shop. He got out and walked toward the building, armed with a Sig Sauer MCX semi-automatic rifle and a 9mm Glock 17 semi-automatic pistol. He was wearing a green, blue and white plaid dress shirt, a white t-shirt underneath, and tan cargo pants. At 2:02 a.m, Martin bypassed Officer Adam Gula, a uniformed off-duty Orlando Police Department OPD officer working extra duty as a security guard, entered the building through its southern entrance and began shooting patrons. Dozens were killed or severely wounded, injured inside the crowded nightclub, either directly or by ricochets. Grueler took cover and called in a signal for assistance. He told a police foundation assessment team that he had immediately recognised that his handgun would be no match for Mateen's rifle. When he witnessed Mateen shooting two patrons attempting to escape through an emergency exit, Grueler fired shots at him. In response, Mateen withdrew back into the nightclub and continued shooting victims as he traversed through the building, sometimes firing into bodies without checking whether they were already dead. When additional officers arrived at the nightclub, beginning at 2:04 a.m., Grueler shouted the gunmans in the patio and resumed firing at Mateen a minute later. Two officers joined Grueler in engaging Mateen, who then retreated further into the nightclub and began a hostage situation in one of the bathrooms. In less than 5 minutes, Mateen had fired approximately 200 rounds, pausing only to reload. During the shooting, some of the people trapped inside the club sought help by calling or sending text messages to friends and relatives. Initially, some of them thought the gunshots were firecrackers or part of the music. A recently discharged Marine veteran working as a nightclub bouncer immediately recognised the sounds as gunfire, which he described as high caliber, and jumped over a locked door behind which dozens of people were hidden and paralysed by fear, then opened a latched door behind them, allowing approximately 70 people to escape. Many described a scene of panic and confusion caused by the loud music and darkness. One person shielded herself by hiding inside a bathroom and covering herself with bodies. A bartender said she took cover beneath the glass bar. At least one patron tried to help those who were hit. According to a man trapped inside a bathroom with 15 other patrons, Mateen fired 16 times into the bathroom through the closed door, killing at least two and wounding several others. According to one of the hostages, Mateen entered a bathroom in the nightclub's northwest side and opened fire on the people hiding there, wounding several. The hostage, who had taken cover inside a stall with others, was injured by two bullets and struck with flying pieces of a wall hit by stray bullets. Shortly after entering the women's restroom, Mateen's rifle jammed. He then discarded the rifle and switched to his Glock 17 pistol. Two survivors quoted Mateen as saying, "I don't have a problem with black people," and that he wouldn't stop his assault until America stopped bombing his country. Other survivors heard Mateen claim he had explosives as well as snipers stationed around the club. Patrons trapped inside called or texted 911 to warn of the possible presence of explosives. Now, what this guy did was horrific, but he was clearly going through something. And I don't know if you have, but I watched the Stacey Dooley documentary she did. She was interviewing, asking some of the locals, in the gay community, and some of them noted that he may have been gay himself, but he was struggling to come to terms with it. And he was a regular at Paul's nightclub. Now, he could have been, how do I say this, he could have been poisoned to join a faction from Iraq or wherever to do their bidding. But either way, what he did was horrific. And if he hadn't have been killed, he would have served his sentence at a prison. But saying, "I don't have a problem with black people," well, you can't really say that because there were black people in the nightclub who were gay. So, you know, you can't really say that. But anyway, let's move on. Emergency response. In the next 45 minutes, about 100 officers from the Orange County Sheriff's Office were dispatched to the scene. Among the earliest first responders to arrive were a firefighter crew from Fire Station 5 and two supporting firefighter paramedics from Fire Station 7. 80 fire and emergency medical services personnel from Orlando Fire Department were deployed during the entire incident. 2:09 a.m., several minutes after the gunfire began, the club posted on its Facebook page, "Everyone get out of Pulse and keep running." At 2:22 a.m, Martin placed a 911 call during which he mentioned the Boston Marathon bombers, Tamerlan and Joker Samayev, as his homeboys, and made a reference to Mona Mohammed Abu Salah, an American citizen who died in a suicide bombing in Syria in 2014. Martin said he was inspired by Abu Salah's death for the al-Nusra Front targeting Syrian government troops, a mutual enemy of the two Salafist groups, despite their history of violence with each other, and swore allegiance to ISIL leader al-Baghdadi. The FBI said that Martin and Abu Salah had attended the same mosque and knew each other casually. Martin made two other 911 calls during the shooting. Numerous 911 calls were made by the patrons inside the nightclub around this time. After the initial rounds of gunfire between Martin and Gula, six officers shot out a large glass window and followed the sound of shooting to the bathroom area. When Martin stuck his head out from one of the bathrooms, at least two officers shot at him. After the gunfire stopped, they were ordered to hold position instead of storming the bathroom, according to one of the officers. After about 15 to 20 minutes, SWAT arrived and had the officers withdraw, and officers were not really in tactical gear. SWAT then took over the operation. When asked why the officers didn't proceed to the bathroom and engage Martin, Orlando Police Chief John Mina said it was because Martin went from an active shooter to a barricaded gunman and had hostages. He also noted, "If he had continued shooting, our officers would have went in there. At that time, the last shot by Martin was fired between 2:10 a.m. and 2:18 a.m. Rescues of people trapped inside the nightclub commenced and continued throughout the night. Because so many people were lying on the dance floor, one rescuing officer demanded, "If you're alive, raise your hand." By 2:35 a.m, police had managed to extract nearly all of the injured from the nightclub. Those who remained included the hostages held by Martin in the bathroom, as well as a dozen people who were hiding inside dressing rooms. Phone calls and negotiations. At 2:45 a.m, Martin called News 13 of Orlando and said, "I'm the shooter. It's me. I am the shooter." He then said he was carrying out the shooting on behalf of ISIL and began speaking rapidly in Arabic. Martin also said the shooting was triggered by a US-led bombing strike in Iraq that killed Abu Rahib, an ISIL military commander, on May 6th. A crisis negotiator was present as Martin was held up inside and holding hostages. Officers initially believed he was armed with a suspicious device that posed a threat, but it was later revealed to be a battery that fell out of an exit sign or smoke detector. Police hostage negotiators spoke with Martin by telephone three times, between 2:48 a.m. and 3:27 a.m. He claimed during one of the calls that he had bombs strapped to his body. Also claimed that he had a vehicle in the parking lot with enough explosives to take out city blocks. At 3:58 a.m, the OPD publicly announced the shooting and confirmed multiple injuries. Explosive vests. At 4:21 a.m, eight of the hostages escaped after police had removed an air conditioning unit from an exterior wall. At approximately 4:29 a.m, Martin told negotiators that he planned to strap explosive vests similar to those used in November 2015 Paris attacks to four hostages, strategically place them in different corners of the building, and detonate them in 15 minutes. OPD officers then decided to end negotiations and prepared to blow their way in. At around 2:30 a.m, Martine's wife, after receiving a call from her mother at approximately 2 a.m, asking where her husband was, sent a text message to Martine asking where he was. Martine texted back asking her if she had seen the news. After she replied no, Martine responded, excuse me, I love you, babe, according to one source. She texted him back at one point saying that she loved him. She also called him several times during the standoff, but he did not answer. She found out about what was happening at 4 a.m. after the police told her to come out of her house with her hands up. A survivor of the shooting recalled Martin saying he wanted the United States to stop bombing his country. The FBI said Martin told a negotiator to tell America to stop bombing Syria and Iraq, and that was why he was out here right now. During the siege, Martin made internet searches on the shooting while police dispatched a tactical robot to discreetly enter the restroom and allow them to communicate with the hostages via two-way radio. And, he wanted, the United States to stop bombing Syria and Iraq, yet there were other ways of having a dialogue. I don't understand what they do, because they want attention. And unfortunately, people who do this want attention, and they come up with these baseless, theories or baseless, views to shadow what they really want to do. So I don't buy that, but, I wasn't there, so I don't really want to speak. Rescue and resolution. The FBI reported that no shots were heard between the time Martin stopped exchanging gunfire with the first responders at 5:02 a.m. When Orlando police began breaching the building's wall, just before the breach, Martin entered a woman's bathroom where the hostages were hiding and opened fire, killing a man who sacrificed his life to save the woman behind him and at least one other, according to witnesses. At 5:07 a.m, 14 SWAT officers, after failing to blow open a big enough hole in the bathroom's exterior wall using a bomb due to the wall's structure, successfully breached the building when a policeman drove a Bearcat armoured vehicle through a wall in the northern bathroom. They then used two flashbangs to distract Martin and shot at him. The breach drew Martin out in the hallway, and at 5:14 a.m, he engaged the officers. He was shot 8 times and killed in the resulting shootout, which involved at least 11 officers who fired at about 150 bullets. He was reported down at 5:17 a.m. At 5:05 a.m, the police said a bomb squad had set off a controlled explosion. At 5:53 a.m, the Orlando police posted on Twitter, Pulse shooting, the shooter inside the club is dead. 30 hostages were freed during the police operation. The survivors were searched by police for guns and explosives. 50 people died in the incident, and another 58 were injured, 53 by gunfire and 5 other by causes. Some survivors were critically injured. 39, including Martin, were pronounced dead at the scene, and 11 at local hospitals. Of the 38 victims to die at the scene, 20 died on the stage area and dance floor, 9 on the nightclub's northern bathroom, 4 in the southern bathroom, 3 on the stage, 1 at the front lobby, and 1 out on the patio. At least 5 of the dead were not killed during this little volley of gunfire by Martin, but during the hostage situation in the bathroom. The names and ages of the victims killed were confirmed by the city of Orlando after their next of kin had been notified. Of those who lost their lives were Stanley Almodovar, Amanda Alvear, Oscar A. Racina Montero, Rodolfo Ayala, Alejandro Barrios Montanez, Martin Benitez Torres, Antonio D. Brown, Daryl R. Burt, Jonathan A. Camoy Vega, Angel L. Candelero Pedro, Salomon A. Carrillo Fernandez, Juan Cervez Martinez, Luis de Conde, Corey J. Connell, Tevin E. Crosby, Frankie J. Desuses, Velasquez, Dionka D. Drayton, Mercedes M. Flores, Peter O. Gonzalez Cruz, Swan R. Guerrero, Paul T. Henry, Frank Hernandez, Miguel A. Honoroso, Javier Jorge Reyes, Jason B. Josephat, Eddie J. Justice, Anthony L. Luino Disler, Christopher A. Linonen, Brenda L. Marquis McCall, Jean C. Mendez Perez, Aikia Monet Murray, Kimberly Morris, Jean C. Nieves Rodriguez. And there are a few more, but, you know, as I said in the beginning, all of my condolences go out to the family. Autopsies of the 49 dead were completed by the Orange County Medical Examiner's Office by June 14th, and their results were released in early August. According to the autopsy reports, many of the victims were shot multiple times in the front or side and from a short distance. More than a third were shot in the head, and most had multiple bullet wounds and were likely shot more than 3 feet, 0.91 meters away. In total, there were over 200 gunshot wounds. Many of the injured underwent surgery. Most of them, 44 people, were taken to the Orlando Regional Medical Center, the primary regional trauma center, 3 blocks away. 12 others went to Florida Hospital, Orlando. 9 of ORMC's patients died there, and by June 14th, 27 remained hospitalized, with 6 in critical condition. 3 Colombians and 2 Canadians were among the injured. Additionally, a responding SWAT officer received a minor head injury when a bullet hit his Kevlar helmet. The perpetrator is obviously 29-year-old Omar Martin, an American born in New Hyde Park, New York. We have his personal life, but I'm not going to cover that because, you know, I don't want that, because out of respect, I'm not going to cover that. The motive: in the hours before the shooting, Martin used several Facebook accounts to write posts vowing vengeance for American airstrikes in Iraq and Syria, and to search for content related to terrorism. These posts, since deleted, were recovered and included in an open letter by Senate Homeland Security Chairman Ron Johnson to Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, seeking further information about Martin's use of the site. During the shooting, Martin made a 911 call claiming it was an act of retaliation for the airstrike killing of, among others, ISIL militant Abu Rahib in the previous month. He told the negotiator to tell America to stop the bombing. An unnamed police academy classmate said Martin asked him out around 2006, that they had spent time at a gay bar together after class, and that he believed Martin was gay. He also described him as a socially awkward and disliked by classmates. A man who self-identified as Martin's lover of 2 months, Miguel, stated that he believed the massacre was out of revenge against Latino men when Martin learned he may have been exposed to HIV from a Puerto Rican man with whom he had sex. Martin's autopsy results, however, showed that he was HIV negative. At least 4 regular Pulse customers reported having seen Martin visit the nightclub on no fewer than a dozen occasions. One of them said he would sometimes become drunkenly loud and belligerent, and at other times would drink in the corner by himself. According to a witness who recognised him outside the club an hour before the shooting, Martin had messaged him using Jacked, a gay dating app. Intermittently, over the course of a year before the attack, another witness said Martin used Grindr, a gay hookup app, and Adam for Adam, a website to communicate with gay men, and had posted pictures of himself on both sites. A third witness said Martin would try to pick up men at the nightclub. However, according to federal law enforcement officials, the FBI suspects the witnesses claiming Martin's homosexuality could be mistaken and has doubts that Martin was gay. Enforcement sources said the FBI found no photographs, text messages, smartphone apps, pornography or cell tower location data to suggest Martin lived a gay life, closeted or otherwise. Well, that's according to the FBI, but he clearly struggled with his sexuality. I mean, as we know, most men, or a lot of men in the community, like, can have relationships with women. Like, you can be married, and later on can, you know, turn out to be gay, right? So I don't really buy that, but, you know, maybe he literally wiped his entire history. You know, we don't know that, but The people who went to the Pulse nightclub every week, and they were regulars, obviously got that feeling from him because he was a regular there. So, you know, aftermath. Security camera video footage was recovered from the nightclub as part of the investigation, with a censored version later publicly released during the trial of Martin's wife. Facebook activated its safety check feature in the Orlando area following the shooting, allowing users to mark themselves as safe to notify family and friends. The first use of the feature in the United States. Following the shooting, many businesses, venues in the United States, such as shopping malls, movie theatres, bars and concert halls, re-examined their security procedures. Also, police forces across the country announced plans to increase security at LGBT landmarks such as the Stonewall Inn and at Pride Month events, including Pride parades. 2 former SWAT members, one an active shooter, tactics expert and trainer, expressed misgivings about the 3-hour delay in breaching the nightclub, citing the lesson learned from other mass shootings, that officers can minimise casualties only by entering a shooting location expeditiously, even if it means putting themselves at great risk. Sadiq Martin released a Dari language video statement via Facebook on June 13th to speak about his son's actions. A June 13th broadcast from the Iraq ISIL radio station, Al Bayan said Martin was one of the soldiers of the Caliphate in America, without indicating any foreknowledge of the shooting. On September 10th, the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services fined G4S Secure Solutions $151,400 for providing inaccurate psychological testing information on more than 1,500 forms over a 10-year period, which allowed employees to carry firearms. Martin's form was among those investigated. On November 4th, it was reported that the Orlando Police Department was upgrading its equipment for officers following the shooting, since officers at the nightclub were not well equipped for the event and therefore endangered. The upgraded equipment included ballistic helmets and heavier ballistic vests. Following the shooting and a vehicle ramming attack, and mass stabbing at Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio, a new federal initiative was launched, partially in response to at least one victim bleeding to death in the side pulse during the shooting. The initiative was designed to train people working at schools and other public places on how to treat injuries before paramedics arrive at the scene. Doctors have emphasized the importance for school faculty members to stay calm and assess injuries, but also discouraged the use of more invasive emergency procedures such as removing a bullet. Florida Governor Rick Scott expressed support for all affected and said the State Emergency Operations Center was monitoring the incident. Scott declared a state of emergency for Orange County, Florida, and Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer declared a state of emergency for the city. On June 24th, Scott directed that 49 states' flags to be flown for 49 days in front of the Florida historic capital in Tallahassee, with the name, age, and photo of every victim displayed beneath each flag. The Obama administration expressed its condolences to the victims. President Obama ordered that the federal government provide any assistance necessary to pursue the investigation and support the community. In a speech, he described the shooting as an act of hate and an act of terror. He also issued a proclamation on June 12th ordering United States flags upon non-private grounds and buildings around the country and abroad to be lowered to half-staff until sundown, June 16th. He and Vice President Joe Biden travelled to Orlando on June 16th to lay flowers at the memorial and visit the victims' families. Many American Muslims, including community leaders, swiftly condemned the shooting. Prayer vigils for the victims were held at mosques across the country. The Florida mosque, where Mateen sometimes prayed, issued a statement condemning the attack and offering condolences to the victims. The Council on American-Islamic Relations called the attack monstrous and offered its condolences to the victims. Many people on social media and elsewhere, including 2016 United States presidential election candidates, members of Congress and other political figures, foreign leaders and various celebrities, expressed their shock at the event and extended their condolences to those affected. Vigils were held around the world to mourn those who were killed in the shooting, including one held at the banks of Lake Eola Park on June 19th that attracted 50,000 people. One Pulse Foundation, a charity organisation created by a Pulse owner, on July 7th, filed documents with a plan to fund and build a memorial at the nightclub. The foundation is collaborating with the City of Orlando to determine the location of the memorial. The non-profit organisation also plans to start a fundraising campaign to provide financial help to the surviving victims who were injured and the families of the 49 who were killed. The LGBTQ gun rights organisation Pink Pistols saw its membership increase from 1,500 to 4,500 the subsequent week after the shooting. As of June 24, 2016, membership was over 7,000 with 36 chapters around the country. The group experienced increased interest following Donald Trump's election to the presidency. As of April 2017, the group claimed over 9,000 members. In the aftermath of the 2018 trial, some media reassessed the reactions, possible motives and media narrative of the shooting. And that is the Orlando nightclub shooting. I have skipped most of the information purely because, you know, for time restraints. Obviously, I've left out the personal life for, you know, very good reasons. But yeah, that is it for today's episode. Again, I do apologise for.
I won't say what it was for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
I do apologise for Wednesday's episode not going up until yesterday, but as of next week, it will be back to the normal schedule, Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So yeah, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, enjoy your weekend.
I wonder if God got a plan for everyone. I wonder if I could take a second run. 'Cause I carry on getting sad and getting stuck. What I wouldn't give for a life that doesn't suck. I'm a moving target.